We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Birchos HaPeiros, Halacha Hey, in middle of paragraph Zion. Rav Nosson Zal says, we know that the reason why we eat matzah on Pesach is because of the fact that the Jews left Egypt in a hurry. Hainu, this means, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Barachmo of Dilei Galaketz, Hashem with his great kindness, skipped over the appointed time when the Jews were supposed to leave, the Goalom Kridim Shoyurum Legula, and he actually took us out of Golos before we were ready to be redeemed. Because we were supposed to be in there for a full 400 years, Hashem subtracted 190 years from that and took us out after 210 years of exile, which was much, much earlier than expected, and which was much, much earlier than we would have when we would have been fully ready to leave. V'atol pianal mavur umuvan ha'inyan l'maskel heitev. And now, based on what we discussed earlier, you can understand this very, very well. Ki kemoi shehatvua bizman ho'oviv hi kroivo legmar bishula. Just as when it comes to grains, when it comes to springtime, that's when they're almost ripe. Aval afal pikein adayin lo nizbashlo v'nigmar legamri. However, they are definitely not yet fully ripe. Shezeo bechinas. Which means that the sparks of Kiddusha that are found in these grains, which we said represent these avedos, these lost sparks, they are not yet complete. That's the exact state that the Jewish people were in at that time when they were taken out of Golus, meaning that there were some sparks of Kedusha that had been completed. There were some lost sparks that had been found in the 210 years that the Jews were in Golus. Avaloi nigmar tikunam legamri. However, their tikun was not yet complete. Ki hakoil echot, because this is all one topic. This is all one. The avedos, the Jews in Golos, and the ripening of the vegetation. Ki tikun nefoshos Yisrael hu kefi metzias v'tikun hu avedos shehem anitzutzos. Because the tikun of the souls of the Jewish people is directly connected to and dependent on the tikun of these lost sparks of Kedusha. Sheze iker tikun ha'odom levarer nitzutzos. Because this is one of the most important functions of man, of a Jew in this world, to help refine the sparks of Kedusha in this world that require refinement, that are lost or that are incomplete. And a major part of our mission in this world is to find those lost sparks and to elevate them, to refine them, to help them complete themselves. And as we learned earlier, by the process of helping them complete, by us helping them to complete themselves, we, in addition, complete ourselves. We become completed in the process. Dahainu limtsoy avedos, which means one of our major missions in this world is to find these lost sparks. V'Yisroel bo'isoy ho'ez shelagula kvar nistaknu v'nisavu ha'idim mitzias kam avedos. And Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, at the time that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, they had already fixed and elevated many lost sparks. Many. However, they did not finish the job. The job was not complete. And even the sparks of holiness that they had found already and they had started processing, even those were not fully processed. And even the processing that was done was not completely to the credit of Bnei Yisrael. It was because Hashem beamed a few billion watts of light at the Jews that night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what suddenly sped up the process tremendously. That added like 100 years, let's say, to what the Jews could have accomplished, let's say, had they been in Golos and worked themselves for another 100 years. Hashem shot a laser beam, you know, a nuclear laser beam at them, you know, and he sped up a lot of the processing, which again was not to their personal credit. It was Isarusa Delela. It was help from above, which was Sheloi Bahadroga. It wasn't in a staged, you know, processed the way it's usually, but it was done, you know, zap, in zap mode. And Shalika Seder, it was done out of or out of sequence. Kemuva Bekavonas, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. And this is the concept of spring, which is exactly when the Jews left Egypt. Because during the springtime, the grains and all of these fruits are all very close to ripe. However, they are not yet 100% ready. And Hashem went ahead and broke the rules and jumped over the fence, and, you know, kavyochol, and took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, even though the tikkun that they were supposed to achieve in Mitzrayim, they had not yet fully achieved. As the pasuk says, ki bechipozon yotzoso, you left in a hurry. Because of the fact that they couldn't wait any longer, they couldn't stay in Egypt any longer. As the pasuk says, they couldn't. And this is why, when Hashem first told Moshe Rabbeinu about his mission to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, he refused, and he was insistent about it. He kept begging Hashem, please, don't make me do it. I don't want to. And in the end, he said, Shlachno b'yad tishloch. Hashem, please send someone else. Please send the guy whom you're going to send. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi Kodesh writes over there, She'ein soifoi lachnisam loretz v'liyoiz goyelam losit. That Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he was not going to be the one to complete the job. That he was not going to be the one to take them into Eretz Yisrael and to be their redeemer of the future. Moshe Rabbeinu ro'o v'yoda shadayin lo nigmar ha-tikun. Moshe Rabbeinu saw and understood clearly that the tikkun that was supposed to be accomplished in Mitzrayim was not complete yet. V'adayin heimasidim lachtoi harbe. And therefore, the Jews were going to sin a lot still, because they weren't fully ready. U'machmazeh yihyeh ma sheyihyeh. And because of that, because they were going to sin a lot, what was going to be, meaning shelo yachnisam loretz, that he was not going to be able to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. V'yachar kach, and even after they would finally arrive in Eretz Yisrael, yeh nechrav habayis pam rishono pam shnia, the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed once and a second time, v'lo yeh nikmar atikun ad sheyavo Mashiach tzidkenu, and the job would not be completed until Mashiach will come. Therefore, it would have been appropriate for Bnei Israel to stay in Egypt longer until their tikkun would be complete. And if it would have been done that way, then when they would have left Egypt, it would have been a final geula, would have been a final redemption, whereby we would not have to go through any other goluses. However, Hashem is full of kindness. And Hashem is always trying to do everything he can to see to it that nobody should go lost. No sparks of Kedusha should be lost. And Hashem, with his infinite, deep wisdom, as the pasuk says, Mo'oid omku machshavoy secho, that Hashem is very deep, that the Jews couldn't stay there another second. Because despite the fact that they were not yet fully purified, and therefore there was going to be a lot of trouble, there was a lot of trouble and problems up ahead, despite that, still, the correct decision, the right thing to do, the best thing to do was get him out of there right now. Because if they would wait there any longer, they would have been permanently embedded in Egypt. That would have been the end. They would have gotten stuck there in a way that they couldn't ever be taken out. kemuva mize, as is written about, as is written in Sforim. Ki yesh avedos harbe shenechas bohem hazua makol kach, because there are many lost sparks of kedusha, whereby the tumah is so powerfully attached to them. She'im hoya mismameim oid kerega b'mitzrayim, whereby if they would have waited another second in Egypt, hayonisharim shom lagamri, those sparks of kedusha would have been permanently stuck there, where they couldn't be taken out. V'alkein hoya ha'hechrich loyfi aleim oir gotol milamala. Therefore, Hashem had to beam this fantastic, powerful light at them from above, ulagoy elam miyad, and thereby take them out immediately. Lahavdil, a person's having guests over for dinner, and the wife decided to make a roast, and the roast was in the freezer, she forgot to take it out. And the roast takes 3 hours in the oven at 300 degrees, and suddenly the guests are coming in 15 minutes. What does she do? She puts it in the microwave and she nukes it, period. And then in 10 minutes she does what would have taken 3 hours in the oven to do, and then again she lights a match to the outside, make it look a little bit well done, burnt, and she serves it to them raw and hopes they don't get a stomach ache, you know. But I'm saying we have this concept where depending on different circumstances, sometimes you can't follow the regular channels of processing. Sometimes it was in the oven for an hour and nothing's happening. Take it out, put it in the microwave for 5 minutes, and suddenly it's really happening. It defrosted very quickly and it's in processing. And even though at the time that the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were not completely pure. They were not completely clean. And as a result of that, because they were not completely pure, they were vulnerable. The Satan saw that, and he saw that they were easy prey. And he took shots at them, one after another, throughout the 40 years in the desert. Afal pikein hoy alidei hora sagula shohoyos alidei ze hechia oisam huavedus. Still, the fact that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim and beamed that light at them, by doing that, He injected life into many of those lost sparks. V'nishar bohem reshima kadosh shelo netzach, and those sparks of kedusha were left with an imprint of that light emblazoned inside of them. In a manner that eventually they will all get their tikkun. They will all be fixed completely. And this is something that Hashem himself manages in every single generation through the great tzaddikim. Hashem is in charge of this project, and his staff is the greatest of the tzaddikim. Sheyesh lefomim shechoit v'manoshim umoitzino yisamim mekoymos megunim umuluchlochim ma'oid ma'oid. There are times where a tzaddik grabs someone and pulls him out of a deep, deep mud, where the person's in a very filthy level. And the tzaddikim start washing this person off, processing him, and cleaning him, and trying to bring him close to Hashem. However, there are many who end up falling. And many of them, when they fall even deeper than they were in the beginning. And despite that, the tzaddikim keep trying. They keep doing this. Even though they see that there are failures along the way, they still keep trying. V'yesh be'inyin ze plois harbe, pili plois, niflois tamim deim. And Rav Nosson Zal says that regarding this whole process, there are incredible things. Literally, the deepest, deepest secrets are related to this concept of the tikkun neshamos and processing these neshamos and all the ups and downs that are related to it. I remember my father-in-law, Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zal, those that knew him knew that this person was extraordinary in many, many ways. An extraordinary Talmud Chacham, an extraordinary religious person, and a person who was a specialist in Kiruv. This is going back 40, 50 years ago. And at one point he got so frustrated. He was trying and trying and failing. He would succeed, he would be makar of a person, and then things would come up, the parents would go all out assault to almost kill their own children to tear them away from Yiddishkeit. And many times he had invested hours, hundreds of hours, to make the child Shomer Shabbos, religious, into a good person. and the parents won. A tug of war, and the parents won. And tore the kid back into Chil Shabbos, or back into drugs in certain cases. I'd rather have my kid, a parent once said, I'd rather have my kid on drugs than religious. Definitely. And at one point, he said he can't go any further. And he wrote a letter to his rabbi in Yerushalayim at the time, Rav Avraham Kochav Lezer, Rav Avraham Shtern HaZachon Avrucha, where he said, I can't do it anymore. It's like a woman who's having miscarriages, one after another, and I just feel like I'm too much. I can't take it every time, raising a child, and then it dies on me. And his rabbi wrote him back a letter where he quoted Torah Nun Tes, chapter 59, in the first half of Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, specifically, he starts by saying, a person who is trying to bring people close to Hashem, he's building a Heichal HaKodesh, and Rabbeinu Zal writes over there, and even though many, many will fall away, many, those that remain, about them, the Pasuk says, V'hanishar b'tzion, v'hanoyser b'Yerushalayim, kodosh shemer loy. Knows that for them it's worth it 1,000,000,000%. And he wrote him this, and he told us that when he got that letter, that's what saved him. Knows he was literally ready to resign, to say, I'm out. Can't go through that experience again. And when he got that, he pulled himself back together and he decided to continue trying. And again, as he continued, he went through this many, many times, watching people who became very close to him and close to Hashem, and suddenly some of them became distant from Hashem, or some of them remained connected to Hashem, but they spit on him, and you know, spit is a light term, they insulted, you know, they hurt his feelings terribly, terribly. And yet he continued, and he was very successful, Baruch Hashem. This is part, obviously, Rav Nosson Zal here is talking about, number one, his own experiences, and he's talking about how this goes on. Aval HaKoil Hu Al Pi Hanal. However, this is all based on what we mentioned earlier. Shezeo Bechinas Yitzias Mitzrayim Koidem HaKeitz. This is tied into that concept of the Jews leaving Egypt before finishing their term there, their 400-year prison term. They were released 190 years earlier. It had its negative side to it, its negative effects. Shaydezeh, Hizgara Bohem, Habaldor, Rachakach, Harbe. That's what made the Yetzer Hara attack them repeatedly, again and again, during the time they were in the desert. Because the Yetzer Hara saw their vulnerability. He saw that this was unprocessed. Lahavdol, they say that, I once heard that water, if you water that's questionable, if you want to be sure that it should be healthier, what do? You cook it. If you boil water solidly, then the water is A-okay. It's kosher. You know, if the water was questionable. But I've heard it said that warm water, if you cook the water and it doesn't come to a boil, is more dangerous than the water that wasn't heated at all. And in a certain sense, that's what we're talking about here. Something that it was started processing, but the processing wasn't finished. There's an incredible vulnerability to this bacteria, to this sitrachra, to the Yetzer Hara. Aval af al pikein, however, despite all of that, Yemin Hashem Roimema, Hashem's right hand is way up there. Hashem's got that V for victory sign flashing. Ula oilam yodoy ho al yoyna, and Hashem always comes out on top. Ki hu yisporach yoda mikol zeh, Hashem knew all of this. And despite that, Hashem understood that the proper decision was get him out of there, right then and there, knowing full and well that there would be repercussions, there would be problems. Because if they were not taken out exactly then, they would be lost permanently. The canal, as we mentioned earlier. As we said earlier, this is the reason for eating matzah, not eating chametz. Because the concept of finding these lost sparks of Kedusha and refining them, perfecting them, is tied in directly, it parallels the growth of the grains and the processing of bread. When we see the grain, the stalks of grain, come above the ground, and they're growing, and they're ripening, nimtzoin v'oilin ha'avedos v'nistakna b'yisur. Those lost sparks of kedusha that are found in them are also being found and elevated and processed. V'chein v'chol pam u'pam adzman, and this continues throughout the whole process, adzman ho'aviv, until we get to spring, shehu zman habishul, which is the time when this when these grains become fully ripened. And then, when the grain is fully ripened, then you first have to harvest it, you have to gather it in, you have to grind it, you have to refine it, take out the bran from the whole wheat flour, you know, until eventually it gets turned into bread. This is all paralleling this process of finding these sparks. Because the finding these sparks is a procedure that has 20 steps to it. The 20 steps involved in these sparks going from totally lost to completely found and corrected parallels exactly the 20 steps involved in a seed becoming, you know, processed grain and growing and becoming bread. V'yalkein yesh kamo mitzvos bepas. And this is why there are many mitzvahs related to bread. Bacharisha, when you're plowing the earth, there are mitzvahs specifically related to plowing. How a Jew plows. He can't plow with two different animals together. Uzriya and planting. When to plant, when Shemitah year you can plant, when you can plant, and exactly not planting two different types of seeds within close proximity of each other. Uktzira and the harvesting. Can't harvest on Shabbos. Can't harvest before you do the Omer, you know. Velisha and the kneading. Because this is a known item, that the Kedusha and the other side, the Tumah, always parallel each other perfectly. They always have to be. There always has to be a balance. Alkein, b'chol pam shemoitzin eizem mitzio umaschina loitzio varo laloisa. Therefore, any time that a Jew finds one of these lost sparks of Kedusha, or any time one of these lost sparks of Kedusha are found, and they're starting to be processed and refined and elevated, tekef hasitra achra krucha achreho umizgara babiyoser. The other side says, hey man, now it's my turn. The sitra achra comes in and starts working on it to pull it back down, to fight the process. Ki himis gaberes b'chol pam sheroya sheroitzen lohitzi bola mipia. Because the sitra achra, whenever it sees that you're trying to tear something out of its mouth, to pull something away from it, it's not going to take it sitting down. It's going to battle. It's going to fight. And the more we elevate these sparks of Kedusha, another step up the ladder, another step up, another step up, Mizgabrim b'yoyser. The other side starts fighting harder. Ad shebesoif b'shaz gmar hatikon mamish. Sheroye sheroitzim lo itzio legamri. Till when it gets close to the end of the processing, when the sitra achra sees that this spark of kedusha is just about to be completed, oz mizgaber b'yoyser v'yoyser, then he goes nuts, then he gets crazy, the sitra achra, umispashit moed moed b'kol koychoyser v'rachmanson, and he goes all out, he throws everything he has into it. Just like when you have two people who are fighting it out, two people who are punching it out together. When one of them feels that the other guy is winning him, he feels that he's losing the battle. Sometimes if he's not a quick loser, you'll see the guy suddenly become enraged, and suddenly he'll turn on 10 times the power he had before. The guy was almost crushed. How's he pick himself up and suddenly throwing 30 punches? What? The answer is because he saw that he's almost crushed. Therefore, he went crazy, went nuts. As is written in our Sfarim a lot about this, that this is the style of the Sitra Achra. V'yalkein yesh kamo mitzvois bepas. And it's for this reason that there are many mitzvois related to bread. Because through each one of these mitzvahs, as every step of the way there's mitzvahs, and these mitzvahs are doing battle against the sitra achra, these mitzvahs are purifying and purifying these sparks of kedusha, so that they should be able to get to their completion. And it's for this reason that we must eat matzah on Pesach. ki ikar gemara tikun hu avedos vanitzusa shebetvuch hu kishenase lechem she'oz roi lachilas odom lachyoy se levorchelov. Because the main completion of these sparks of kedusha that are found in grains is when the grain is completely processed, which means when it's turned into bread, healthy, nutritious bread, which can give a person, you know, koyach, and which a person makes a bracha on. V'yalkein oz b'shas hagmar be'ez she'somoch she'enas alechem. And therefore, when it's close to the finish, when it's about to become bread, oz mizgaberes u'mishtatech z'sitrach ramoid, that's when the sitrach really does everything it can to battle. And this is the concept of kneading dough until it rises. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, this is something that you can see in physical nature. That bread is more tasty and more natural to eat than matzah. Because matzah is a form of bread that has not been fully processed, taken through the completion of that final stage of processing. That's why it's called matzah. V'alkein koru razal gam ho'or she'eino nigmar tikunoi b'shem matzah. And this is why the rabbis of the Gemara, when they refer to leather that hasn't been fully processed, an animal skin that hasn't been fully processed, they call it matzah. K'moshem razal, as the Gemara says, matzah v'diftera. When it's talking about parchment, making parchment, or using the leather, the skin of an animal, for tefillin, for those kind of things, that's the word. Matzah means unfinished, And it's for this reason that most people usually eat bread, not matzah. Because when the dough has fermented, when the dough has risen, that's when it completed its digging. However, the Jews, this holy nation, Hashem has separated us from all the impurities. And Hashem has forbidden us to eat any type of food which we are incapable of refining from the sitra achra, which we're incapable of doing what needs to be done. Shezehu tam kol macholos asuros. This is the whole concept behind why certain foods are forbidden to us, why we're not allowed to eat them. We're not allowed to eat them because we can't process them correctly. We're not in a position to be mevara them from the achiz of the sitra achra that's found in those foods. And this is why chametz on Pesach is so forbidden. Because during the holiday of Pesach, the tikkun of these avedos is in the format of springtime. Shehu b'chinas matzah. Springtime corresponds to matzah. Dahainu shekvar him smuchim oid l'tikunam. During the springtime, the vegetation is close to being ripe. Avladayin loy nigmar tikunam lagamri. However, it is not yet fully ripened. V'alkein srichin lechoy loz matzah daika. And therefore, corresponding to that, Hashem insists that we eat matzah. Dahinu tekev kishelosh noiso koidim shemascheles leschametz. Meaning that as soon as you start kneading the dough, before it gets a chance to rise, because of the fact that during springtime we are not in a position to make the tikkun for these avedos other than in the status of matzah. Whereas the tikkun that has to be done afterwards, the tikkun that comes from the kneading till the time that the dough rises completely, ze ein koyach biyodeinu ato levarer, we are not capable of doing that tikkun at this point in time. V'miyamtin chas v'shalom ad she'taschel es chametz chas v'shalom. And therefore, if a person will wait for the dough to rise, lo yidai shelo yevarer, not only will he not be able to make the proper birur that needs to be done on it, af gam tisaches bo yasitrachro mo'oid mo'id. but rather the Sitra Achra will grab hold of that in a very, very powerful way. Ki hi oireves atom ma'oid ma'oid lesaches ba'avedos. Because the Sitra Achra is waiting and very, very anxious to grab hold of that the aveda. Because the Sitra Achra sees that it's about to be torn away from it completely. Avol bechemlas Hashem. However, through Hashem's kindness, migoidel ha'ora shemeros bechazdoi, as a result of the great light that shines on the night of Pesach, at Hashem's great, ein koyach la Sitra Achra ha'avedes klal. The Sitra Achra does not have any power over these lost sparks. However, this tikkun is only up to, limited to the tikkun of matzah, which is the concept of something that's rushed. Alkein b'hamatzah nimshochen ato kol hakedushos v'chol oiros hagdolim hamirun ato b'pesach. And therefore, all the great lights that Hashem beams on the night of Pesach, all of that gets shined into the matzah. Ki klulim b'seicha kol ho'aveidoi sheninsu. Because in the matzah is included all of these lost sparks of Kedusha that have been found. Sheheim nitzutzais kedoshes. Shekishoilin heim oirois gedoilis. These are these holy sparks, which when they get elevated, they turn into bright lights. Shemeirin harbe b'koyach ha'ora gedoilo shemeir aleimata, which shine very powerfully as a result of the great light that Hashem himself is beaming down on them on this night of Pesach. Avoteikev kishiyam tenoid chasushon. However, if the person will make a mistake and procrastinate and they'll wait longer with that dough, they'll let that dough rise, ad shetaschol isol eschametz, and they'll give the dough a chance to rise, then the Sitra Achra, which is very, very much after chametz, will attack even more strongly. Because of the fact that that's the time when the bread is really being brought to its true state of completion. And at this point in time, it is impossible to be machnia the type of Sitra Achra or the power of the Sitra Achra that it would exert if it saw that the bread was mamish about to be completed. Alkein isura chometz b'pesach chomer moed. And it's for this reason that the forbiddenness of chometz on Pesach is very, very serious. Kishom achizas kol ha-sitra achra ato b'pesach. Because on Pesach, the entire Sitra Achra is focused on that, on those grains, on that wheat, you know, that's going to be stopped at the matzah process or taken further. Lahavdil, you have a lot of cases where a person is baking something. Let's say a woman's baking something, and this thing has to bake for an hour. And it bakes for 50 minutes, and it looks just about ready. She's just about ready to be taken out. She says, you know what, I'm going to leave it in a little bit long. You know, she wants it perfect. She leaves it in a little bit longer. Something gets up, she gets involved, and suddenly she smells that terrible, terrible, burnt smell. The thing died, you know. V'alkein rogil b'divrei razal l'chanes tomit shem hayetzor v'asitrachra b'shem chometz usoyer. And it's for this reason that our rabbis always refer to the Sitra Achra as chometz, sor. Those are the nicknames that are used about the Yetzer Hara. K'moy Shom Razal, as the Gemara says, one of the rabbis once said, Ritzoini la'asos ritzoinecho, Hashem, I really want to do what you want me to do. Rak sor shebi'isa makivoisi. It's the yeast in the dough that's blocking me. That's the nickname that he gave to his Yetzer Hara. He called his Yetzer Hara Sor Shavisa. V'chein Harbe. And we find many examples throughout the Torah where rabbis refer to the Yetzer Hara in this way. Ki Yetzer Hara v'Sitra Achra kruchim b'yoyser b'eis gemar hatikano achroim. Because the Yetzer Hara and the Sitra Achra are especially prevalent when it's close to the finish line, when something's close to being finished, which is from the time that the dough has been kneaded till the time it rises. That's mamish the completion of the dough. However, after Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Sitrachra had a complete mapola. Ukvar niskachi Yisrael harbe aydei amei sfira shischilu, and the Jews had already become purified a lot as a result of the days of sfira that they already counted. They already counted 6 days of the sfira. V'zochu le'yira ve'emuna. V'zochu le'yira ve'emuna. And the Jews were zechet kriyas yamsuf to true fear of Hashem and true faith in Hashem. As the pasuk says, "Vayiru ames Hashem, vayaminu Hashem." They respected Hashem and they believed in Hashem. Verov v'hisigu al hayam asheisigu al kein achakach yichol nasakin gam achomeitz. That's why after Kriyas Yamsuf, after Shvi Shel Pesach, we have the ability to be misakin chomeitz. Now, after that major tikkun was everything that was accomplished from Pesach till Shvi Shel Pesach, and Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Sitra Achra was thrown into the ocean and drowned completely, then we're ready to process chametz. V'alkein oz hutra chametz. That's why chametz becomes permissible at that point. Avol b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim shoz ikar aliyas avedas aydei horas chazdoi. Whereas at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the processing of the lost sparks was mostly through Hashem's kindness, it wasn't through our being, you know, our assembly line, our standard assembly line processing that we were doing throughout the 210 years in Egypt. It was this burst of nuclear light that Hashem shone at that time, which was out of pure chesed of Hashem. V'adayin ein koyach l'sakin achometz kanal. At that time, we were not ready. We are not incapable of being misakin chometz. Alkein oz krucha sitrachra b'chometz moit moit. And that's why at such a point in time, the sitrachra is very, very attached to the chometz. V'alkein oz osur achometz b'bal yiroh b'al yimotze. And therefore, at that point, chometz is forbidden. Not allowed to look, see it, not allowed to find. Paragraph Ches. V'ze b'chinas b'dikas chometz. Rav Nosson Zal says, with this we could understand the mitzvah of searching for chometz. She'tzrichen livdoik u'lechapei sachar chometz ma'oid k'dei levaroi. This is the one time in the year that there is such a mitzvah of a person searching, really searching hard to find the chometz to destroy it. We don't just search, we search with candles even. And shalomdu metziya me'metziya v'chipus mi'chipus v'chipus miner. The Gemara learns out in the Masechta Pesachim, they learn out from different words. In the Pesukim, it says the word lo yimotze by Pesach, and it says the word yimotze by something else. And it says the word chipus and chip. The Gemara learns out that the search on Pesach has to be such a fine search that you must use a candle so that you can go into every nook and cranny. Because if you were using a torch, with a torch you would be afraid to go into the corners, you know, really search in the corners. A candle, you're less afraid, you know, to be able to go into every little corner to see if there's any chametz there. She'tzrichen livdoi kechametz le'oyer haner daiko. You must search for the chametz with the light of a candle. Ve'heviu mikro ner Hashem nishma sodom choyfeis kochad reboten. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk. There's a pasuk that says that the soul of a person is compared to a heavenly candle which searches throughout all the hidden places, all the crevices in the stomach. Ki kol zeh hu b'shvil tikkun ha'avedos v'kanal. Because Rav Nosson Zal says this whole concept of dealing with chametz in general, and especially the search for chametz, is related to the concept of searching for those lost articles that we spoke about earlier. The lost particles of Kiddusha. She'tzrichin l'chapei sachrayim ma'oid, whereby a Jew has to search for them a lot. She'zehu ikar b'chinas ner Hashem nishmas adam choyfes. That's the main concept of the neshama being compared to a candle that's searching. She'haneshama kruya ner. The neshama, the Jewish soul, is called a candle. She'tzricho l'chapeis kol chadrei votem. And it has to search in all the crevices of the stomach, meaning she'shom kol hataivois shel harishoim. When we talk about the stomach is also used as a figurative term to refer to a person's physical desires. That guy, he's just out to fill his own belly. It doesn't have to mean literally food. It could be a person who requires respect, you know, all kinds of physical desires, base desires. V'shom tzrichin l'chapeis ha'avedos. And it's there that the person has to search for these lost items. Dahinu shekol echod yishtadel l'shaber ta'avoysov b'shvil Hashem yisborach. This refers to the effort that each and every single Jew has to put into breaking his desires for Hashem. Breaking his physical desires. In other words, subduing his desires. Where the person becomes completely in control of himself. Where it's not that his desires boss him around, it's not that his desire for food, he smells something delicious and he has to have it, or he sees something beautiful, but rather he thinks carefully and you know, everything is thought out well, and making an intelligent decision as to whether this thing is really going to help me or hurt me, short term and long term. And by a person overcoming these desires, gaining complete control of themselves, by that the person is involved in searching, this search for these lost items of Kedusha. And this is the concept of destroying the chametz, which is accomplished by searching with the candles. Ki ikra chipus ulevayer hachometz shehu asitra achro shemishom kol ataivos. Because the main search for destroying the chometz is the search for the sitra achro, for the yetzahara, which is the source of all of these base desires. V'oz memela yiyu nimtzoim kol ha'avedos. And when a person is searching to eliminate this bad from inside of him, to eliminate these bad things, these bad characteristics and everything from inside of them, while they're conducting that search, automatically they're going to find those lost items of Kedusha that they're looking for. Kiho ikar, now listen to these words here, this is very important. Kiho ikar hu lihiyois sheval taisa. Because Rav Nosson Zal says the most important thing in terms of a person being religious many times, is simply not to do anything. Not to do anything bad. Sheval taisa. In other words, that alone is a major, major accomplishment. As was very often mentioned by Rabbi Nazar. Rabbi Nazar said this many times. Meaning that the person should at least not be chasing after his evil desires. Person running, searching to see how he can fill himself with things that are no good, with things that are treif, chas v'shalom, with things that are bad for his soul, etc. So if a person could at least accomplish that, could just accomplish that, then I won't go, I'll stay home, I won't go out looking, you know, running around looking for things that are bad for me, chas v'shalom. Shemishom kol ha'avedos, because again, these taivos are what cause all of these avedas. These, as we quoted the pasuk, taivas rishoyim toived, that the desires, a person who has desires for the wrong thing, and they pursue those desires, that's what results in things getting lost. In particle, what gets lost? Time gets lost. That's the greatest aveda. You have certain things in life, chas v'shalom, television, for example. Those people that know what it is to be addicted to television, or the It's a murderer. Picture a guy standing in front of you with a knife, and he wants to stab you. He wants to put you away in the hospital for 6 weeks. He wants to put you out of commission where you can't go to work, you can't learn anything for 6 weeks. Who's the murderer? The television is a murderer. Because sometimes it doesn't murder 6 weeks, it murders 60 years. People that get involved in that and get committed to it, they sit down to a TV supposedly for 15 minutes, and then they end up 3 hours later saying, wow, I can't believe that happened. And I can't believe I did that. I just blew 3 hours. And I'm just using this as an example of the nature of the Yetzirah, the Sitra Achra, that whatever, to each person it's their own, sometimes it's certain forms of entertainment. You know, we hear again, even though the Torah tells us that Pa'omim, Bitula Shel Torah Zui Kiyuma, that there are times that a Jew has to take some time off. That if a Jew is learning with intensity, or they're doing mitzvahs with super intensity, there is a time that a person has to take a break. They have to rest, or even do something entertaining. But the trick is that it should be controlled, where you're in control, not where you give yourselves over. You give yourself over into the hands of the Yetzer and throw away your watch, and he's in charge. Whenever he says time's up, that's when I'll quit. Then a person's in trouble if they do it that way. You get people who sit down to eat. And again, it's without a timer. No clock. There's no time. What do you mean? I'll eat. I'm relaxing. Can sit here for 3 hours, 3-4 hours, because schmoozing and this and that versus thinking what's, you know, a schedule. What's my priorities? And I have to, and watch the clock. Watch the clock. If the longer I stay here, there's other, certain other things I'm not getting to. And therefore, to work with a Seder. Paragraph tests. And this is why one of the names that's given to matzah, it's called lechem oini, poor bread, poor man's bread. Because of the fact that in the matzah is gathered all the lost parts of Kiddusha that were elevated and extracted, taken out of their poverty. We said that when the Jews were in Golus, when the Jews are in exile, they're referred to as lost. They're lost in exile. They're lost from their homeland. And when the Jews are coming out of exile, it's these lost articles being retrieved and found and brought back to their proper place, being returned to their rightful place. So the matzah, which was baked as they were leaving Egypt, that was that on the run, you know, running to escape, the matzah is the place where all of those avedos are gathered. The bechinas, as the pasuk says, matzil oni mechozok mimenu. There's a pasuk that says Hashem rescues the poor person from the one who is stronger than him. Again, the poor man is the underdog. The poor man is the slave. The Jews, when they were in exile, they were aniyim. They were called the aniyim, and Hashem rescued them, took them out of the ones who were more powerful than them at the time, the Egyptians. Shenemar al hanefoshos hanitzolim me'asitrachra. That pasuk refers specifically to those souls that are being saved from the sitrachra, those souls that are being rescued from the hands of the Yitzhahara, the Satan. K'mayshekosu b'medrash rabbah, as it says, Medrash rabbah, Parshas Vayera, chapter 54. Because Rav Nosson Zal says a poor person is a concept of someone who is lost. As the pasuk says, Lulei seirosho sha'ashuoi oz ovadati banyi. Dovid HaMelech says, Hashem, were it not for the pleasure that I get from the study of Torah, I would be lost in my poverty. Oz ovadati banyi. So we see the connection between lost and poor. Uchsir, there's another pasuk that says, Im ere oyved mibli levoish. If I see a person who is lost without clothing. Again, and the term lost there is obviously referring to poor. The concept of lost is synonymous with poverty. Chas v'shom. V'zeh b'chinas es ho'oivdois lo'i bikashtem shenemar al ho'aniyim shalichos aleim. And also, as we find the pasuk in Yechezkel, chapter 31, where it speaks there about those lost people, whom you didn't search out, whom you didn't seek. And there it's referring to specifically the poor people whom the Jews didn't take pity on. So we see an oni is referred to as an aveda. And so too we find that the Torah refers to the Jews in exile as my lost sheep. And that's how the Jews are referred to when they're in their state of poverty, when they're downtrodden, when they're fallen. And this is why the matzah is referred to as poor bread. Sheshom oilin veneskatzin kol ha'avedois she'olu. That's where all of these lost articles that were being taken out of Mitzrayim, that's where they all gather. Sheheim bechinas anius. They're in a state of poverty canal. Ubifrat ato she'olu koidem ha'keitz. And especially now, when the Jews were leaving Egypt before the right time, when they weren't really fully, they weren't supposed to leave at that time. They hadn't filled their full, they hadn't served their full sentence in Mitzrayim. Rak b'chazdoi, but rather they were being released early, purely out of the kindness of Hashem. Al kein lo nitaru adayin legamri. Therefore, at the time they were leaving, they were not yet completely pure. Al kein nikron b'shem anius. And therefore, they're still referred to as being in a state of poverty. Because again, they're incomplete. They didn't get their full tikkun. Bechinas lechem oimi. That's the concept of the fact that we eat this poor man's bread to show that we're still poor. Usually, when a person is in exile, he's referred to as poor. When a person is free, he's wealthy. The Jews, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they were freed to a degree. Had they served their full sentence completely, and had they come out on their own merit because they finished their sentence completely, then they're going out in full glory. The fact that they did not complete their sentence, and the fact that we were not deserving of being taken out, it was purely an act of kindness on the part of Hashem, therefore we're still referred to as poor people to a degree at that time. And the matzah is symbolizing that we're not ready to eat fully baked bread. We're still being treated as aniyim to a degree. V'zehu, and this is why the pasuk says, Shomer es chodesh sho'oviv osisa pesach. Remember the spring, the month of spring, the month of Nisan, when you were taken out, which is called springtime, and you will make a korban pesach. Ki b'chodesh sho'oviv oitziach, because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim in the springtime. Lo yitzleichlu alav chametz shivas yomim, and you're not allowed to eat chametz for 7 days. Lo yitzleichlu alav chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz. Shivas yomim toichal olav matzah yislechem oini. For 7 days, you must eat matzah, which is poor bread. Why? Ki bechipozon yotzasim Mitzrayim. Because you left Egypt on the run. On the run. You were on leman tizkor asim seizcha, so that you should remember the day that you left Mitzrayim. Rav Nosson Zal says, val pi anal, and based on what we explained earlier, move on heitev kol smiches ha-parsha zois. You could understand very, very well how every word in the pasuk here connects together, how each one of these thoughts connect. Shehatoyro mazheres lishmoyres chodesh ovuv. The Torah makes a point of emphasizing, remember that month that you went out of Egypt, which was in the spring. Who cares? Of what consequence is it for us today, 2,000 years later, to know whether they went out in springtime or summertime or wintertime? What does it matter? Why is that written in the Torah? Ki b'chodesh sho'oviv oitziach Hashem. And the pasuk repeats it. So, you know, remember that you left Mitzrayim in Oviv. B'shvil zeh bo'itoich alo l'chametz rak matzah yislechem oini ki b'chavos n'yotzasa. And because you went out in the spring, therefore, you are not allowed to eat chametz. You can only eat matzah because you left in a hurry. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, ki hakoil echod, because this is all following one train of thought. Ki hachipozoin hu bebechinas ha'oviv shehu koidem gemar tikun achron. Because leaving in a hurry, when a person says, I had to leave my house in a big rush, usually when that happens, the person leaves incomplete. And therefore, the rest of that sentence is, and therefore, I forgot my pants, and I forgot my bus ticket, and I forgot my tudat zehut, and therefore all kinds of things go wrong, because I left in a hurry. Left in a hurry implies incomplete, lack of shleimus. Springtime is lack of shleimus. Springtime, the vegetation is starting to come up, but it's not complete yet. If you eat that stuff, if you cut it off the tree in the springtime, before it has completed harvesting, and you eat it, you're going to get a bad, bad stomach ache, or worse, chas v'shalom, you know, sometimes, as we learned earlier. So we see that spring is connected with this prior to completion. Spring is prior to completion. Leaving in a hurry is prior to completion. Matzah is incomplete. Matzah is incomplete bread, not fully processed. B'shvil zeh osor lechol chametz. And it's for that reason that we're forbidden to eat chametz. U'tzrichem lechol matzah lechem oini. But rather, we must eat matzah, this poor bread. Sheshom kol ho'avedoi sho'olu bechastoi koidem gemar tikunam. Because the matzah represents all of those lost items that were taken out of Egypt, that were taken out before their completion, before they reached their shleimus, and they were released only out of the kindness of Hashem, not because they were fully deserving, not because they served their full time and they accomplished their full tikkun. Shemachmazeh osra chametz. It's for this reason that chametz is forbidden. Utzrichen lechol matzah, and we're obligated to eat matzah. Shehu bechinas chipozlin matzah, which implies something that's done very quickly, baked quickly. Shezeu bechinas mashiyotzu b'chodesh oviv Koidim Gemara Tikkun Achroim. This is what's represented by the fact that Hashem took the Jews out in the springtime. The springtime implies when things are not complete. Things are starting to come, starting to ripen, but not fully ripen. That was the symbolism in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it was a redemption, it was a going out of Golus, but it wasn't solid. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had all the trouble that they had in the desert, all the mistake. That was all the result of the fact that they left Egypt incomplete. They hadn't finished the tikkun. And as we learned earlier, so a person would say, then why could, what do you mean? Hashem got impatient? Hashem couldn't wait a couple of minutes? The answer is, it's not Hashem who couldn't wait. Hashem saw that if the Jews stay there one more second, there ain't going to be any Jews to take out. Chas v'shalom. The Tumah, they were in such a fallen state that had they stayed there a second longer, it would have been a total loss. So Kaviyochel, Hashem chose to cut his losses, that he'd rather have an 80% success rate than a 0% success rate. If he would have waited a little longer, there would have been zero. It would have been a complete wipeout. Hashem took them out early, so the success was not Bishleimus. They suffered a lot in the death. There were a lot of losses, and a lot of damage, But still, they made it. They finally, eventually made it to Eretz Yisrael. Not they, their kids. Most of them died out in the desert. And eventually, there was something to save. Eventually, Mashiach will come and the tikkun will be completed 100%. Paragraph Yud. V'alkein kol ha-shalish regolim tolsa ha-toira bizman tikkun ha-tvua. Rav Nosazal says, this is why you find, interestingly, in the Torah, when the Torah describes the three major holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, it connects them to the seasons of the grains. Ki chag Pesach, Tulsa Torah b'chodesh Avov kanal. We know that the holiday of Pesach, the Torah ties it into springtime. V'chein baroiv hamakoymois kemat kulam kishemedaber me'asoras isur chometz v'chiv achilas matzah mazker b'chol pam chodesh Aviv. And so too, if you look throughout the Torah, just about any time that it mentions the prohibition against chometz and the obligation to eat matzah, it always ties it into the season, related to the harvesting. Kimavur beparshas Kaddish, in Kaddish li kol b'chor, at the end of Bishalach, ubeparshas Mishpotim, ubeparshas Kisiso, beparshas Riei, all of those places. V'chag ha-Shavuos, nikro chag ha-Kotzir, and we know that the holiday of Shavuos is called the holiday of harvesting. V'yoyim ha-Bikurim, and the day of the ripening of the grains. V'chag ha-Sukkos, nikro chag Osif, and Sukkos is called the holiday when everything is gathered in. All the grains are gathered in. Ki kol ha-gimel regolim kulam im zeich litzias Mitzrayim shebachinas metzias avodas hanal sherubam ne'lamim b'tzmochim kanal. Because as we mentioned earlier, all of these holidays commemorate Bnei Yisrael leaving Egypt, which is the concept of finding all of our lost articles. We said that leaving the exile is the concept of finding our lost articles, of which the majority of them are hidden in vegetation. V'alkein kol ha-gimel regolim beis gemara tvua v'atzmochim. And that's why all the three holidays come out at the time of the completion of the grain, of the growing of the grain. Meaning, dehainu beis gemara ha-tvua v'atzmochim, the grains and the vegetation. Dehainu bizman ha-oviv, u'bizman ha-kotzir, u'bizman ha-osif. In springtime, in harvesting time, and in cutting time. Kotzir is cutting, when you cut the grains, and osif is when you gather it inside, when you gather it in. She'oz ikar tachlis gemar. Sukkos is the main completion time. Shu chag ha-sukkos, shu achar Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur, v'chodesh Elul, which follows the month of Elul and Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur. V'hu gemar ha-tikin shal Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim, kemuvin b'kavonis, haynu kanal. Sukkos is when we really finish the job of what we started throughout the month of Elul and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Ki ikar mitzias v'avedois hu be'elul v'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. Because the main time of the year when we're involved in finding these lost articles is the month of Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Shehu Zman Tkiyas Shofar, which is the time when we blow the shofar, Shayidei Zeh Moitznoisim, which is part of what helps us find these lost articles. We had mentioned earlier that Rabbeinu Zal said in Likut Imran about the Malochim, who blow Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah, and thereby, that's the tikkun for the Taivas Rishoim Toivet, for the losses that are caused by the Taivas of the Rishoim. Ki Kavon Esel, Heim Tikkun Abriz, Shubchinas Mitzias Avedis Kanal. Because as we mentioned earlier, the explanation that the Arizal gives for the month of Elul, what a person is supposed to be thinking about during the month of Elul, that brings Tikkun Abris to a person, which is what helps the person find all of their lost articles. Kios Hemimei Tshuva, because the days of Elul and Aseres Yimei Tshuva are the special days of repentance. Shaydeze Ikra Chipus Achra Veidos Sachem Moitzim Moitzim Kanal, which is the main ingredient in what's needed to help us find all of our lost articles, search for and find all the lost articles. V'alkein Oz Achra Arboim Yimei Rotzim In Shemei Elad Yom Kippurim Shabayim Ikra Tikkun Shel Kol Aveidos Shavu Aidei Chet Vaigel.
And therefore, Reb Nosson Zal writes, after the 40 days which go from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom Kippur, of which is the main time of finding these lost articles, the things that we lost as a result of the Egel, the Golden Calf, and so too what each and every person loses as a result of his own personal sins, Shakoil Nistakan Al Yidei HaTshuva Shais Me'el Ad Yom Kippurim, all of this is rectified through the tshuva that we do during those 40 days, from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. And after all of that, Achar kach hu chag ha-sukkos. After that follows the holiday of Sukkos, Shehu chag ha-osif, which is the holiday in which all the grains and vegetation are gathered in. Shehu gmar ha-tikun shel kol ha-gimel regolim ha-kdoshim, which is the completion of the set of all three holidays. Because Sukkos is when we complete this tikkun of finding the lost articles, which is this concept of gathering in. Because the gathering in of the grains and vegetations, when we gather it into our houses and our warehouses and everything, that represents the completion of the processing of the grains and vegetations for that year, period. However, the beginning of this process of finding the lost articles has to be from Pesach. Because if not for the beginning, there wouldn't be an end. Because if Hashem would have waited until the end, Bnei Yisrael would have been lost. That's why the Jews could. That's why Hashem couldn't wait with the Gula. He couldn't wait till Sukkos, which is the completion of the cycle. He had to take Bnei Yisrael out on Pesach. V'achar Sukkos choizrin v'zoirin. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, and after the holiday of Sukkos is over, and we finished gathering in all the grains and all the vegetation that we wanted to, what do? We start planting again. Ki kol ha'avedos yefshel v'aron b'shana achas. Because it's impossible for a person to complete the processing of these avedos in 1 year. But rather, every single year, the person finds a little bit. And the main time for this is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is the most opportune time to find these lost articles. And if following that, we have the Chag Hosif, the Sukkos, which is the time when we complete and finalize, you know, all the Avedas of that year. And then we go ahead and replant. Which means we start going after the rest of the lost articles that we didn't process that year. And throughout the winter months, these avedos are in a state of ibor. Ibor means like pregnancy. It's like when a mother is pregnant with a child, there's development taking place, but it's all inside her womb. It's undercover. Whereas during the month of Nisan, which is the spring season, that's the time for birth. That's the time when the things finish growing. And that was the time when the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim. However, it was done rushed. ki adayin lo nigmar tikkun amazman hakotzer vo'asifo shimchinei shavuos v'sukkos. Because really, the tikkun of Bnei Yisrael wasn't really completed until shavuos and sukkos. Avol zeh hoyo neflois tamim deim. However, this was the wondrous concept of Hashem, the wondrous understanding of Hashem, kidei shelo yoivad shum nitzutz v'aveda l'gamri chas v'shalom, in order to ensure that no sparks, no souls would go lost. And that's the reason why we eat matzah, because matzah represents something that wasn't finished processing, something that had to be made in a hurry.
So Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've said here now, you could understand why the Torah makes this parallel between the three holidays and three sections of completion of processing of Tvuah.
Ki be'emes hakol echad.
Because the truth is, they're both the exact same concept.
Ki hakol b'shvil tikun v'aliyas v'avedois sh'oilu v'nestaknos v'kanal.
Because the planting and harvesting of grains and vegetation, and also Klal Yisrael being put through Golus Mitzrayim and taken out, is all both are for the same purpose. The purpose is finding these avedois.
And this is why the Pasuk says that a Jew is supposed to remember the day on which he left Mitzrayim throughout his entire life.
Meaning that a Jew is obligated to remind himself every single day of the fact that he was taken out of Mitzrayim in a hurry, before the right time, and it was only out of Hashem's kindness. We weren't really deserving yet at the time. And because of the fact that we were taken out in a hurry, before completion, that's why we go through what we go through. Because the Gemara tells us that every single Jew in every single generation is supposed to picture himself as if he himself came out of Egypt. Because every single Jew goes through everything we spoke about here, all the difficulties, and going into Golus, and being forced to have Hashem take him out of Golus prior to the completion time. And all the problems that follow afterwards. As anyone who wants to really analyze his life and everything will be able to understand how his life parallels what we're talking about here. And this is why we're obligated every single day to remind ourselves of the great kindness of Hashem in taking us out of where He took us out of.
Shezeh b'chinas yitzias Mitzrayim.
That's the concept of coming out of Egypt.
V'yafal pi she'ato oivor alav ma'ashoiver.
And even though the person says, but I'm still going through so much, I'm still going through such hardships,
b'vadai ha'chesed v'atoiva shosim ha'ashem izborach, b'vadai einu l'orich ha'sashon.
Still, the act of kindness that Hashem did of rescuing him from his Egypt, rescuing him from his main exile, that certainly isn't wasted. Meaning he's telling us here that most people who want to come close to Hashem, when they make a decision to try to start coming close to Hashem, first they have to go through a Yetzias Mitzrayim. They find themselves in a bad place, and it's a matter of getting them out of that bad place. That parallels Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once they come out of there, even after they leave the bad place, they still got to go through quite a bit to try to advance and get to a very good place. But still, even as they're going through that, they still have to remember the wonderful, wonderful kindness that Hashem did for them in taking them out of the bad place. However, the fact that the person was taken out of Mitzrayim, was taken out of the bad place, doesn't mean that he's not going to have tests anymore. Doesn't mean that he's not going to have difficulties. He will have difficulties, but he has to try to pass them.
Avol soif kol soif yigmar Hashem Yisborach Hasheloi Ma'ashe Yisrael Barachmav Lo Yisrael Mitzrayim Mitoch Vasid Rachra.
However, in the end, Hashem will succeed and will complete the job of taking us out of Mitzrayim, mitoikef ha-Sidra Achra, from the toughest part, place of the Sidra Achra, kedei lekorveinu l'avodas yisborach, in order to bring us close to Hashem, to serving Hashem. Kidvar elokeinu yokum loilam, because the word of Hashem will be established permanently, eternally. In other words, if Hashem took us out of there and He wanted us to be in a good place, even though it's taking us a long time to get to that good place, you know that everything you're doing everywhere is tied into Hashem. Paragraph Yudaleth. V'zeh v'chinas sfira soimer. This is the concept of counting sfira. Ki ikar mitzvah sfira hu l'hochanas mi'el kabbalas ha-Torah b'shvas ha'idu Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the main concept of counting sfira is preparing ourselves to receive the Torah on Shavuos through Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zeh na'aseh v'chol dor v'dor ha'idei ha-tzadik ha'emes. And this is reenacted in every single generation through the tzaddik of that generation, shehu bechinas Moshe, who is a concept of Moshe, sheikra tikkun shel kol echad ve'echad al yodoi, whereby the main tikkun of every single Jew of the generation is dependent on the tzaddik of the generation. Umi sheroitze lochus al atzmoi, and anyone who cares about himself, tzorich lishtadel bekol koychoi liskara ve'lo bemes, has to try to make every effort possible to come close to the tzaddik, to really come close to the tzaddik. Ki shomati mimenu zichron avrocha, achar shomar atoyra kruas Yeshua now, shono iskin bo, because Rav Nosson Zal writes, after Rabbeinu Zal gave the shir on chapter 6 in the first half of Likut Imran, which is the chapter that we're talking about here, after that, I heard from Rabbeinu Zal that he made this statement, Shebechol mokim sheyesh Rav Amiti, the Talmud, that whenever in Jewish history you have a situation of a rabbi and a true student, Hu bechinas Moshe v'Yeshua v'Oyel Moed. It's a concept of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua and the Oyel Moed in which they got together in. Shehin bechinas nukudu elyona shal alof nukudu tachtoyno v'avov shebdech alof. These three, Moshe Rabbeinu, the tenth, and Yeshua, correspond to the three sections of the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph, when it's written in a Sefer Torah, is made up of an upper section that looks sort of like a Yud. Then there's a diagonal section that looks like a long Vav on its side, sort of. And then there's the lower section, Shaydei Zeh Na'aseh Odom. And it's through the tikkun of this Aleph, that's how we generate Odom, because Odom begins with Aleph, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 6 in Likut Imran. Ayin shom heite batoranal mevoyer shom shaydei hadmimo vash siko nas bechinas nukuda tachtoyne bechinas vorz adam ragli kanal. Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter that when a Jew, when a student is put into a situation where he's being embarrassed or insulted for his closeness to his rabbi, that's what generates that lower part of the Aleph. That's the lower part of the Aleph. The concept of vahor, it's hadoim ragloi, hadoim, he's doim lashem. Unekudu el yoyna, ze bechinas keser, she bechinas tshuva, she zoichen al idei admima vashsika. The top part of the Aleph corresponds to the crown, the keser, which is something that a person is, which is the concept of tshuva, which a person is zoichen to through his hadoim, through his silence, by being silent when he's supposed to, when he's being insulted or embarrassed. Vavov she betoichu aluf, and that diagonal, that middle section, which is like a vav, hu rokia. That corresponds to the sky, which is Shomayim, Eish Umayim, Bechinas Habusha, Sheneshtan Apon Avol Kamagavnen. This refers to the fact that Rabbeinu Zal said that this embarrassment where a person's face changes colors. Vaydezeh Nase Odom. And by following all of this, he generates this concept of Odom, Bechinas Aleph Dam. The word Odom is made up of two sections, the Aleph and the dam. And then when you have this combination of the rabbi and student, then you have this yichud of the sun and the moon, shehashemesh meir lalavono, whereby the sun shines into the moon, yichud bein Moshe v'Yeshua, and there is this union form between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, ki Moshe b'chinas nekudu el yoyna,
Moshe Rabbeinu is represented by the upper part of the Aleph. V'yohishua b'chinas nekudat tachtoinu. Yeshua is the lower part of the Aleph. V'avov shebetroichu Aleph hu b'chinas ha'oil. And the Vav, that diagonal Vav, that represents the tent. K'ma shekosu v'yohishua b'nun nar v'yomash mitoichu ha'oil. Yehoshua b'nun was this youth who would never leave the tent. The tent was the place where he connected with Moshe Rabbeinu. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Look in chapter 6 in Likut Imran, in the first half of Likut Imran, where all of this is explained very, very well. U'bishvil zeh tzrichin lizboil bizyoinois u'shvichas dovim harbei koidim shemeskar v'nat tzadik u'emes. Rav Nosson Zal says, it's for this reason that a person who wants to come close to the tzadik emes, before he zeichet, before he gets close, he has to experience a lot of insults and shame and embarrassment. Vafilu achar shemiskarven, and even after he starts coming close already, tzrichen b'chol pam lizbol shviches domim harbe moed, he still has to experience repeatedly a lot of embarrassment, a lot of having his blood spilt. V'hakoil hu l'toyva gedoyla, and it's all a tremendous benefit. Ki ze ikar tshuvose, because this is his main repentance. V'ayde ze daiko hu zoicha lamoid alam doylov lidas rach k'neshim izboruch miyat tzadik, agde kol ma shevrolo. And by going through that, that's what gives him the strength and the steadfastness to remain solidly connected to Hashem and to the tzadik. No matter what he goes through, because in that chapter in Likut Imran, it shows how all of this is really one and the same. Because the main repentance is a person being willing to have themselves embarrassed and shamed for the terrible thing that they did. Were things that they did. That's how he generates this concept of Odom. This is also the concept of coming close to the Tzaddik, who is the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu. The student who's trying to come close to him represents the lower part of the Aleph. And we said it's impossible for the student to connect properly to the rabbi without going through a lot of insults and having his blood spilled. So therefore, when he's experiencing these bizyoinos and shvichas domim, that's his main tshuva, shehu lizko is shienase b'chinas odom, which is to be zeichet to become an odom. V'hoikar shenekuda aliyena tor benekuda atoyna alidei avov shebetoich alav shebuchanes shvichas domim hu bizyona shesovim kanal. And the main thing is that the upper part of the Aleph should be able to shine into the lower part of the Aleph, whereby it shines through that vav in the middle. That vav in the middle represents the rakia, the sky, which is multicolored, which represents that spilling of the blood, a person's face changing colors from shame and embarrassment. Shezehu bi'atzmoi b'chinas oras tzadik shorav shebichinas nekuda aliyena shemer batalmid shebichinas nekuda tachtoina. That's the actual concept of the Rebbe shining into the Talmud, the upper part of the Aleph shining into the lower part of the Aleph. Al kein tzrichin lizboil b'zioinu yisa shvichas dom harbeik shroitzim liyas mekuru latzadik emes. And it's for this reason that the person has to experience a lot of insults and embarrassment when he wants to come close to the tzadik. Because Rav Nosson says, because the truth is, it's impossible for a person to be zeich de tshuva without the tzaddik emes, who is b'chinas Moshe, who knows this concept of rotzei v'shoiv, this concept of ayel v'nofik, this concept of imesak shumayim shomato v'atzi shol yineko. Shezeu gam kim b'chinas nekud elyonet kudat achtonet, mevur shum kawon esalin shom heitev. This corresponds to that concept of the upper part of the Aleph and the lower part of the Aleph, as is explained in the kavonos of Elul. V'alkein, kisheroitze lishoyer kayim b'gdushas yadusoy b'emes, and therefore, when a person wants to remain solidly connected and solidly attached to his Yiddishkeit, to the holiness of his Yiddishkeit, tzorich lizboil b'chol pam b'zioinu su shvi'azdom no harbe b'chol pam mei chodosh. the person has to go through a brand new round of embarrassment, of bizyonos. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Kotei Moran that the person has to do tshuva and tshuva al tshuva. Because by most people, that first tshuva was not complete. Because even at the time that the person is reciting his confession, it's impossible for him to say it without any ulterior motives. And that's why a person has to keep going through tshuva and tshuva on tshuva until he improves himself and gets himself to a place where he's able to do a tshuva without ulterior motives. Because any normal person can understand that you don't get to this in one shot or two shots. A person would be very, very lucky if he accomplishes this after a number of years. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in the Kodim Ran that even a person who zoche to do tshuva b'shleimus, he still has to do tshuva on tshuva because he's trying to correct, you know, he's trying to correct the understanding he had of Hashem yesterday. Yesterday he understood Hashem on level, 111,000. Today he's risen to a higher level. Based on the understanding he has of Hashem today, he sees that yesterday's understanding of Hashem is something that's much less, much lower, and requires tshuva for that, for the fact that yesterday I only understood Hashem to be so great, whereas today I see that Hashem is much, much greater than what I thought he was yesterday. And the person has to know how to go up and down. The tzaddik, and this is the one who really, really knows this concept of knowing how to climb and how to fall. Because the true tzaddik, even though he has been zoche to tshuva b'shleimus, still, he keeps going. He keeps doing more tshuva and more tshuva. And even when a person is zecher to get to a very, very, very high level, whereby it seems to him as if there's nothing higher than that, the person says that, the tzaddik says to himself, who knows, maybe there's still higher. Because Hashem's greatness is infinite. Kasher shamati mimenu zal bozer. Rabbeinu Zal says, as I actually once heard from Rabbeinu Zal this, Look over there in Chaim Aran in several different places. And anyone who's zeicha to be solidly attached to this tzaddik will definitely have a happy ending, a good ending, no matter what he goes through. Because just as a person has to know how to climb, he also has to know how to come back, how to fall, how to come back down, which is the concept of Atzia Sholi Neko. Just as the true tzaddik is never satisfied, he never feels he has enough. And even when he finds himself on the highest, highest, highest levels, he still keeps saying to himself, who knows how much more there is to go. And the tzaddik struggles and digs and tries to do a higher level of tshuva. So that's on one hand, that no matter how high the tzaddik goes, he always says, who knows, maybe this higher, and I have to do tshuva to keep going higher and higher. And Rabbeinu Zal says, similarly, a regular person needs to know that the same thing holds true in the opposite direction. That
when a person comes to the realization that he's mamish so, so low that there isn't anything lower than him. Still, the person has to search and seek. Who knows? Maybe there's some help. Maybe there's some hope. Because the truth is that there's no such thing as giving up hope. As Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this many times. As the pasuk says, waters came over my head. Omarti nigzorti, I said, I'm cut off. Korosi shimcha Hashem yiboyer tachtiyos. Hashem, I'm crying out to you from the lowest, lowest ditch. Vayim bepirush Rashi shom v'tovim yoneinu. Look up what Rashi says on this pasuk and you'll understand how it applies to what we're talking about.
V'ze ikar b'chinas boki b'rotzi boki b'shoiv k'muvan l'mayin shom. This is the main concept of boki b'rotzi boki b'shoiv. Avul kol ze yevshelisko is kimai de tzadiko emes. The only way that a person can be zeichet to this is through the tzadiko emes shekvar zochol ze b'shlemus, who has been zeichet to do this 100%. Halasois tshuva al tshuva shlema tomid. He's the one who has succeeded in doing 100% tshuva and 100% tshuva on tshuva. Shehu betachlis tachlis bechinas nekudo el yoina. He is the epitome of Nekuda El Yoina. Shehu Yochoy Lohoyer his Chaskus Amiti B'Tachlis Tachlis Nekuda Tachtoina. He's the one who has the ability to shine true encouragement, true Chizuk, into people who are in the lowest of lowest places. Ki Tzrichen Leida. Rav Nosson Zal says it's very important to understand Shekishem She'ein Aliyo Lo'olam Ki L'Gdulosso Yein Cheker. Just as on one hand, if you want to talk abstract, if you want to talk spiritual, there's no such thing as a person going up, because compared to infinity, compared to Hashem, relative to Hashem who is infinite, there's no such thing as going up, like you're closing the gap on Hashem, you got closer to Hashem. Because there's no way to limit Hashem's greatness. And the same thing holds true in a downward direction. Ki be'emes hakoil echod, because it's all one. Ki ikar gdulas Hashem yisborach ugdulas chazdoi v'rachma v'yisborach. Because whenever we talk about the greatness of Hashem, the term gedula, we're talking about Hashem's kindness. We find this when in the pasuk L'cha Hashem ha-gedula v'agvura v'atiferes me'etzalim. The word gedula is a substitute for the word chesed in the 10 spheroids. So that whenever we want to measure Hashem's greatness, we're talking about Hashem's kindness, Hashem's ability to show kindness to those who aren't necessarily worthy of it. V'chol ma sheyoydenu ma sigin yoyse gedulosa yisborach. And the more that a person is zeichet to get to understand Hashem better and more deeply, masigin yoyser chazdoi v'rachmo, it means that the person understands more Hashem's kindness, Hashem's ability to show kindness, even where it's undeserving and not justified.